Hey there, friends. Before we get to a brand new episode of the official Do Good Better podcast, we want to thank you, the listener, for subscribing and sharing with all of your nonprofit friends. Most importantly, we need to be thanking the sponsors to this very show. Hey, if you're in the market for a CRM system that makes your life easier, there is no better item in your fundraising toolbox than DonorDoc. DonorDoc is not only the premier sponsor to the show, it is the premier and intuitive CRM system that not only has everything you want, but has zero things you don't. No one needs complicated, especially when you wear 10,000 different hats at your nonprofit. So get DonorDoc and use Do Good Better at checkout and get a month free to try it out. Thanks, DonorDoc, for being an awesome sponsor. Hey, speaking of life being easier, fundraising is not. And as a listener to this podcast, I hope you found some insight and tips and tricks on how to make it a little less challenging. But if you're looking for a more content, more done-for-you templates, weekly support, and a community of other do-gooders like yourself to either commiserate, challenge, co-create, or celebrate with, join Do Good University. Hey, it's our brand new membership site. We have hours and hours of on-demand trainings, exclusive guest expert webinars, and access to the entire Do Good Better crew to answer all of your pressing questions. All of that is for an affordable monthly fee. So visit dogooduniversity.com or click the link in the show notes for details. Hey, get ready for another episode of the official Do Good Better podcast. Hey, nonprofit leader, you do awesome nonprofit things. And our friends at Pro Resources do awesome HR things. Now, why is that important? Because you have too many things to do than worry about payroll and compliance and benefits and admin and workers' comp. You've got donors to get, you've got clients to serve, and you've got a community to make awesome. So let our friends at Pro Resources help you. Go to ProResourcesHR.com. Learn about how they can help your organization not worry about all the HR things. They've got you covered. Go to ProResourcesHR.com. Let them help you be awesomer at HR while you become awesomer as a nonprofit. ProResourcesHR.com or call them at 800-776-4671 and make sure you mention Do Good Better. Get your special nonprofit rate.
Welcome to the official Do Good Better podcast, where we help small and medium-sized nonprofits do good better. Join host Patrick Kirby as he chats about the latest nonprofit trends, challenges, and success stories. Plus, you'll get actionable advice to help you be even awesomer. If you're a nonprofit professional, volunteer, or supporter, this show is for you. We'll tackle all the big topics like fundraising, marketing, and volunteer management. Our only goal? To bring you the information and inspiration you need to take your organization to the next level. So grab that giant caffeinated or adult beverage and get ready to do good better.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the official Do Good Better podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Kirby. And of course, we're always talking with people who are going to help our small and medium-sized nonprofits do good better. I have a good one for you today because I feel like every once in a while when we have a podcast on and you could like kind of tell where things are going to go and then they go haywire and they go really south real quick, or they take a different direction and you never know where they're going to go. I feel like that's going to be today.
Could I interrupt for just a moment?
Oh, yes, Lee, my podcast producer. What are you doing in my office that you're never in ever?
Well, this is a special episode, Patrick, and somebody had to lower the energy level to make sure it was productive. So we brought me in my voice, which is obviously not yours. And today I get to interview the interviewer. Today's five-star guest is Patrick Kirby. How about that?
I mean, I like this. This is a way easier lift on a podcast show now that I don't have to ask questions.
So we are transitioning to a new podcast. And before people start jumping off bridges because of that, maybe you want to tell us a little bit more about the new one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for the question, Lee. That's a really good question. I did not know was going to be coming. So here's the deal. We have done 320 odd episodes of the official Do Good Better podcast. It's been one of the big joys in my entire life. sometimes when you do something forever, you kind of just want to like shake things up. So the idea is we are going to talk with people who are not just individuals in the nonprofit space or consultants or sort of like-minded people. We're going to interview business leaders. We're going to interview politicians. We're going to interview sports athletes. We're going to talk to them about what their whole life experience has been and how we connect that to the nonprofit space. And I think it's a unique perspective and it's interesting. The reason I wanted to do it is I wanted another person to bounce ideas off of instead of me just talking into the void or chatting online with folks. I feel like there's another brain. People get to have another perspective. I think it's valuable for people who are going to join our podcast. And I'm kind of excited about that. That's why.
Yeah. And honestly, certainly not to discount your ability to talk into the void because nobody's better at it.
That's when you practice by yourself in the mirror or in the car. By the way, the best part about having cars require you to like drive without having your like hand on a phone is that my constant talking to myself in the car is like when you make eye contact with somebody on the highway, they just assume I'm on a call instead of me just being a crazy person practicing a speech or just muttering to myself. It's very helpful that way, but yeah.
Well, I think, like you said, too, it's been a great run, and this is the last episode of the official Do Better podcast. We move on to the new podcast coming up in a week or two, and looking very forward to how that's going to turn out and kind of a little rebrand, refresh, and nothing but positive vibes going for that.
It's going to be fun.
So a little bit different format today. I'm going to be interviewing Patrick, and I've got kind of questions grouped into kind of three different categories. So. For your 100th episode, which is very special, I think I interviewed you and Abby that
yes.
day. For your 200th episode, you interviewed Landon's Light, which is one of my favorite
yep.
charities here mm-hmm. locally. And your 300th episode was not too terribly long ago. That was with Paul Zleiser.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Also great episode. So, three categories of questions today. We're going to start off with some trivia about the show.
Holy crap.
So, how many total – you were close already. How many total episodes have we done? What will this one be?
I want to say this is 326.
Wow. You got it right.
Is it?
It is one crazy thing about being Patrick's podcast producer, which is a lot of alliteration. I do podcasts for like five different companies in addition with Patrick, and he has ruined me for most other guests, or most other hosts, excuse me. He is spot on every single time I get a file. I never have to edit it really in the middle of the file ever. And almost weirdly odd is that he starts exactly 2 seconds in. He has about a paragraph to introduce the show, and he's never missed a word once on any file he's ever sent me. And even, here's a good indicator, right now I'm holding 2.5 pages of notes for this interview, and he has nothing, nothing in front of him. So that tells you a little bit more about Patrick. And if you know Patrick, you already knew that, right?
Well, somebody asked me like how much I do prep work for interviews for that. Like that was one of like somebody asked me like how do you prep for all your interviews? And the more I did the podcast, the less and less I prepped. I knew enough to be dangerous about like who the person I was interviewing. It wasn't like going in blind, but I was actually generally curious about most guests that would come on. And so if I had if I knew too much, I would have an agenda. If I had an agenda, it wouldn't sound authentic. If right. I would like that, I think defeats the purpose. So it's really helped me ask better questions when I'm just randomly talking with people or to people. It's helped me with my, you know, big kid job mm-hmm. where like just interviewing potential clients or donors. It's been really interesting not knowing enough and then just going and reading somebody. Or
well, I think in a lot of places too, the podcast listener, and if you're reading a book or whatever,
right.
if it's scripted,
mm-hmm.
you kind of know what the outcome's going to be of the conversation.
Yeah.
And if you don't script it, then it leaves some spontaneity to it. And I can tell you those epiphanies that you want to hear as a podcast listener, that thing that, oh, he just said that. Oh, I'm going to remember that and take that's going to be my takeaway from this podcast. Those don't just happen when you script things. They also don't usually happen in the first 15 minutes. You got to get into the depth of the conversation to find those gold nuggets sometimes.
The two items for guests are either like, whoa, I didn't expect any of that, which is like the best compliment ever. Like I didn't expect that one coming for you. Or I am super uncomfortable with not knowing what you're going to ask me. And I have to like actually talk them off of a cliff before we even go on to the recording to mm-hmm. say, don't worry about, I got you. And it, like, it takes a, like an element of trust to not know what questions are coming up and to trust that you're not going to ambush them and
right.
make them feel dumb or stupid. And I've been super careful about that, you know, considering, you know, the type of guests that we've been getting on that mm-hmm. are like professional multi-book writing
CEOs
that are like, yeah.
yeah.
So in preparation for the new show, I mean, this is really... I think I'm learning a lot or enough to be dangerous in that realm too. So
yeah, I think the challenge for the interviewee is also that your IQ level for what we're talking about is super high. I mean, it's not like so they just grab some guy off the street to come in and ask him ballpark questions yeah. or softball questions, you know? Yeah. So how many total downloads within 1,000?
Oh my God. I don't even know.
60,549 as of this morning.
Oh my God.
60,000 downloads.
Crazy.
And the launch date of the very first episode, episode one?
Oh, my God. March of 2020?
That's way closer than I would have come even.
yeah. I don't even know.
It's February 1st, 2020.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And do you remember who that first guest was?
Nope.
Your first guest was Pam Thompson, who's development director
yeah!
of cystic fibrosis and is still there.
She is still there, and I talked with her just a week ago.
Yeah.
That's how much friendly. Oh, my gosh. Way to go, Pam, being number one. Let's go.
90% of your listeners are from the United States, mm-hmm. which seems like a low percentage compared to a lot of podcasts. Yeah. You've ranked in the top 10 in 13 different countries around the world. How do you explain that?
I want to say that Western Africa really enjoys all the things, and I want to give credit to an exchange student I had in high school from the Cote d'Ivoire. And I want to see, like, I want to know that Momzo listens to the podcast. That's what I really want to know deep inside. I don't understand any of it. And I don't understand, like, how we get really notes from people from, like, New Zealand or Poland or random Indonesian countries.
You had a lot of Ukraine listeners.
A lot of Ukrainian listeners.
Yes.
I think podcast guest number 29, Mark Lindquist, might have something to do with it.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
You've also been in the top 50 in America quite a few times. I mean, almost once a month.
Yeah.
For a long time, we've had a good run on that. And I think some of the happiest moments you've had as a podcast producer and host has been... You've beaten some of the people you looked up to the most in this industry.
Yeah. I've mentioned that to said people I look up to, and I screenshotted several of them, and I keep them in a folder for when I feel like I'm not doing enough. And I go, oh, I got them that one week. It's so good.
So that ends the trivia part of today's questions. We have the second group of questions. We have one listener mail question.
Really?
One listener mail. You ready?
I am.
This is from a listener. Her name is Rebecca, and she is from someplace called Oaks, North Dakota.
Good God. All right.
Rebecca asks, Patrick, what mm-hmm. issues, if a nonprofit client you're working with is unwilling to address and fix, what issues become a non-starter for you as a consultant?
Ooh, that is a great – oh, my God. A non-starter to work with. I would say – God, it's so good. See, here's the thing. I'm a fixer, so I almost would take all of this as a ridiculous challenge to like, well, you're not going to do that, so be it. I would say their unwillingness to being transparent about their relationship with their board. Because I think that's the number one thing that is it's a trigger warning for me. It's a red flag of red flags.
Them being transparent with their board or transparent to you about their relationship with their board?
Both, okay. Yeah. So do you have an open relationship with your board? What is that? And if they're not open about that, if they're like, oh, I mean, they're fine. I go, all right, cool. Can we have a kickoff meeting or whatever? They're like, no, they shouldn't do that. That's the most giant red flag. Because either that they've burnt the house to the ground and they want me to like come in and find – you know, the paperwork in their the black box somewhere, or it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, I think no matter what business you're in, you have that one client. It's like playing a computer game on the highest, hardest setting from the start.
Yeah. And And it's, by the way, that for all the consultants out there, whoever, you know, you, or if you become a consultant, the ones that are on the hardest game level always pay the least. And like the ones who are like, I just need you for this. And then it's just a litany of questions. It becomes a disaster. Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that question.
All right. So now it's time for the hard-hitting questions. Ooh. The questions that America wants to know the answers to. And after you, before you answer all of these questions, I want you to start with, that's a great question.
Done. Done. Sold.
Yep. Okay, ready for the first one?
Yep.
So you've been hosting this podcast now for over 4 years. When do you think you'll start getting good at it?
That's a great question, Lee. So I, that's fun. I actually don't, I, you know what the funny part is? I rarely listen back to podcasts. I will get, or I'll get about a third of the way in because I will nitpick questions I should have asked or don't, like I should have asked. So I like listen and replay, but only through like other people. So other people are like, hey, that was a really good episode. And then I'll fast forward it to the part they were talking about. I have a very difficult time listening to myself.
Do you, at this stage of your career, knowing that you've hosted how many events? Do you know how many?
Oh my God.
How many events you emceed?
So many. This year alone, like 30.
Did all these podcasts, been out in front of people almost your entire career. Yeah. Do you still have imposter syndrome ever?
That's a good question, Lee. Yes, all the time, every day. Every day. I do not feel comfortable in any of that. I don't know what that is. I do. Here's the other thing, too. I know I'm great at certain things, and then when people will say that, I'm good at it. I go, oh, no. And then I feel really horrible about it. So I'm very awkward right now. This is you saying that out loud made me turn a shade of red that I don't appreciate.
All right, we'll go on to the next question. Some of your podcasts have had 1,000 downloads.
Whoa.
Did you even know you had that many family members?
No, it's great. It's a great question, Lee. Fun fact, I don't think my dad knew that I had a podcast for the first, like, 2 years. I'm pretty sure that that's... I couldn't pay. When I started doing speaking gigs and stuff, one of the great joys was I got to tell my dad, like, hey, they paid me to like speak. And there's a wonderful quote in front of my mother who my father said, pay you to speak? I would pay you to shut the F up. It's literally how it was quoted out. And that's a bit, because I never stop talking, Lee. So I don't think it's my dad downloading them, if that's what you're trying to get at, jerk.
I think you're doing really well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can you describe the selling point, why people listen to the podcast, for your podcast, in three words? I can, but my three words would be, is it free?
That's a great question, Lee. And it is free. God. I feel like there's roasting going on. I'm picking up that.
You think?
Yeah. That's a good one.
We'll go on to the next question. That's how about that?
One. Yeah, thank you.
In many episodes, you shared your own personal life stories. When will you start telling the interesting ones?
Can I steal some of these for like an MC work I have to do later on?
That's a great question, Lee.
That's a great question, Lee. May I steal one of these for later on?
Yeah, you can sure.
That's a good one. Yeah. Huh. I don't think I have any more interesting ones. I think I've used all the, yeah.
You have some great, great life stories. Uh-huh. I'm not sure they're all podcast able.
They're not.
Right.
Most of them are not.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Over the past 326 episodes, you interviewed a lot of high profile CEOs and celebrities. Once the podcast begins, how do you keep them from realizing they've made a terrible mistake?
That's a great question, Lee. Do you know that's like my number one fear is that I'll get somebody who I've really, really liked. Dan Pilato was another one too. So I, again, hero for a long time, and I finally got him on the podcast. And I was like, please don't mess this up. Like, please don't mess. I didn't sleep the night before. Like, that's how much I fanboy over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to haunt my dreams now. You've brought that up. That's PTSD I don't want to address.
So you've only had a handful of guests you've ever been intimidated by?
Yeah. There's a handful, yeah.
So this is a great lead into the next question. Mm-hmm. Of all the great guests you've had on, who was the toughest to pretend to be interested in?
I had one. I won't name them. I won't name one.
That's a great question, Lee.
That's a great question, Lee. I had one. I knew in the pre-interview that it was going to be the most brutal, like episode ever.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it is the most brutal episode ever.
We're not going to name names on
no,
this one?
No, we're going to be off air on the name ones, but I think you know exactly what it is. And it took everything in my being to, like, make it as entertaining as possible. Like, it is the benchmark for... God Almighty, please end this as quickly as possible.
And I can say, as the producer, I have almost never had to edit anything you have said or did during the podcast. Oh. But I have been shocked that some of your most experienced podcasters of their own have made some of the most ridiculous mistakes you can make. Like you interviewed can't remember if she's an executive director or what her role was. But during the podcast, she decided to walk outside on the most windy day of the year.
Yeah.
And then she came back in, and the volume was all over the map on that. And it was just impossible to edit to make it sound like it never happened.
Yeah.
And this is somebody who had done like 1,000 podcasts of her own, as I recall. So you think she would have all this figured out.
But maybe they don't. Maybe no one ever told her that. Who knew?
Some say your podcast is where guests go to end their careers. How do you pick your next victim?
Competition, Lee. Oh, that's a great question, Lee.
That's a great question, Lee.
I choose competition. Who's competitive with me in the market? And then can you come on my podcast so I don't have to...
We'll turn it serious just for a second. How are you going to find guests for the next podcast?
That's really... So, interesting enough, we created a list. So, we got to this point where we got to pick and choose who we wanted to be on, but we were inundated with people who wanted to be on the podcast, which is really like a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. But once you kind of get established, you become on a mailing list of a number of people who want to, you know, host on podcasts or people who have a good time. And then they're usually people who get paid to put other people on podcasts because they're promoting a book. Well, when you get good reviews from, hey, how is your podcast? You become the number one source for that. So we've never had to really seek out. We've been really lucky to have people kind of fall in our lap. This one, we're actually picking and choosing, and it's a lot harder. Going back to your imposter syndrome, is why would a governor or why would a professional athlete or why would a professional coach want to come on this podcast? And it turns out, by the way, everyone loves being on podcasts and they love being asked. So if you're on this and you want to actually do your show and you don't think anyone will be on, ask. Most likely they will say yes. And they don't even know who you are. They're like, oh, yeah, podcast. That sounds great.
So with Official Do Good Better podcast, you had lots of emails of people asking to be on the show over and over and over again. Yeah. And I know one of the criteria we've used is that they had to have some connection to the nonprofit world. That's not necessarily true with the new guests?
No, not at all. We'll make the connection because I think what I'm really interested in is – connecting the dots that the nonprofit workspace and the values and the things that you need to accomplish and be a good nonprofit leader are in every other sector too. So I think we isolate ourselves in thinking that you have to be a certain way or a certain place in the sort of nonprofit realm. And I don't think that's true at all. And we're going to prove that. We're going to link those.
And I think maybe 10 years ago, there was a big difference between running a nonprofit and running a business.
Yeah.
I don't think there's no difference at all anymore.
Nope.
The same issues, inflation you're dealing with, turnover, all the same problems you have in the private sector, the same problems you have in executive director right now, not to mention keeping the executive director.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The competition is massive and huge, and even hiring and firing becomes a massive headache for a lot of for for-profit and nonprofit alike. It's crazy.
So that is a wrap on the 326th and final episode of the Official Do Better podcast. If you want to listen to old episodes of the podcast, you can go wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
God Almighty, Lee.
Thank you for being a good sport today.
So good.
It was the is it Galifianakis?
Yeah.
Yes. The Between Two Ferns was the angle I was looking
like
at.
This. For
the,
yeah.
Even though that show makes me super uncomfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that. And for those of you who don't get to like hear Lee on a regular basis, like he's the most brilliant producer of all times. Takes all the guesswork out of doing all of this. So you've been my rock since I first started this. When I threw the concept at you, you're like, I could probably do that. I've done that before. And
at the Dunn Brothers on 25th and 13th.
We did it. No longer even existence. That's how old we are.
And
that,
I think this is almost in fitting with the questions I've been asking you. I think you asked me to produce your podcast, and I said, why me? And you had to convince me.
I did.
I don't know why, because it's been really a good run.
It's been a massive one. Let me ask you a question. What's the longest podcast that you have been producing? Have you produced a podcast longer?
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you I did my own for a while. I think I got about 20 episodes in and realized, as all of your listeners also now realize, I have the most monotone voice you can imagine. It's like Ferris Bueller. That's me, Ben Stein. That's my voice.
There it is.
When it's recorded, So I like to think I'm not that monotone in person, but maybe I really am.
I always thought that we would get to 100.
I also like to think I'm skinny in person. So anyway.
But it is. You are. You're going to say? On the radio or on the podcast, you totally are. As am I. Don't have a dad bod at all. So it's interesting. I didn't even have an idea of how many episodes we would do. I was like, it'd be cool if we did like 100 episodes. And we got to 100 episodes, like, just keep going? Yeah, we should. We got a whole bunch of guests lined up. We've already like got 20 in the hopper. We should just continue to do it. And it never ceased to amaze me at every milestone. We're like, holy crap.
Right.
We've been doing so many of these.
You know, and sometimes we did two a week, and then sometimes we did them every 2 weeks. It's kind of been a little bit of a roller coaster ride of how often we've produced a podcast.
Yeah.
But there's another good question. Has this gotten easier or harder? Because a lot of the other podcasts I work with, it gets easier because they get better at it.
Right.
But it gets harder because you run out of ideas and guests.
Yeah. It's easier because I think I find people so interesting in their angles, right? So you could talk about the same topic with three different people, and they come from totally different realms, and you go off on tangents that are completely different. And again, I think that curiosity of just like, why on earth did you get involved in this, and what are you trying to? And nobody's really sold on the show. That's the other thing too, where I got really specific, where nobody came on and tried to like pitch themselves as a product.
Yeah.
Everybody came on here and like got a solution or got an idea. And I think giving them the freedom to not be a salesy person, and they get to go back to the roots in which they got into the role of being a business owner or got into the role of nonprofit leader. They got to talk about stuff that they got to forget for 35, 45 minutes of a podcast that they weren't trying to raise money, sell something, sell a product, and actually help the nonprofit sector. I think that was the most fun aha moments, where you'd go down a rabbit hole that no one expected us to go down, and they come out of it like, that was really fun. I think we should, I'm going to explore that, or they'll go out and do something that we talked about on the podcast. That was kind of sweet.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good example of what you just said, that the CEO of United Way and the executive director for Lannan's Light have very little in common in terms of how they raise money and how they operate.
Yeah.
And just the difference between those two guests and the answers they would give to the same question is valuable for all the other nonprofits listening.
And yet both of those are executive directors of nonprofits.
You know, right,
United
exactly.
Healthcare is a nonprofit. And Lannan's Light is so that I think is such a fascinating is peace. And I think everybody who isn't even in the nonprofit realm, every business leader donates, every business participates in the community itself. And we had a couple of guests, and I've probably stolen this line from them, that, you know, nonprofit is a tax status, not a business plan. And, you know, when we're having these moments where you're talking to somebody who is going to be on this next iteration of the show, who is, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 CEO, or someone who is a professional athlete who opened up their own nonprofit because they wanted to give back to their particular community. It's the same person. It's the same role. The stakes are a bit, you know, different, but it's the same role.
So what you said about nonprofits and the tax status,
yeah.
I actually went into Amazon after hearing you say it during the episode, created a t-shirt with that on it, and it's sitting on my cart right now.
That is fantastic.
I thought it was such a great line, honestly.
Is there a book? We need to figure out, is there a book title? Maybe that's the next book title.
There you go.
Oh, I should do that.
I think we'd be remiss if we don't thank Leah.
Leah, yeah. She's the rock star one that actually makes all of these guests happen on the calendar and keeps me honest about those. She's the superhero of the organization and sponsors.
Absolutely.
I mean, DonorDoc
forever.
Has been, like, since the get-go, they have been an amazing sponsor of this show and Pro Resources. And there's, I mean, we have so many cool people that hop in and out on this that have supported us. We've been on the show, have been speakers at our events, who have been guest bloggers, guest experts, who've gone on from this show to like our Do Good University platform. Like, this is a really fun thing. And I would have never met half of the people that I have connected with or chatted with if it wouldn't been for this show. I think about this being a catalyst for any connection I've ever had for a half a dozen speaking events or a half a dozen partnerships that we've had. It all started on the show.
Well, and those are just tangible things that you can measure, right? I mean, how many nonprofits have you helped, myself included, when I was worked as an executive director myself, at just taking this information that you normally charge for, or you should be, and just giving it away to everybody.
She's going to be mad about that.
And just giving it away on a weekly basis. Like I said, it's a gift you're really giving to everybody of how to do things the right way. And honestly, sometimes it's just a pep talk, and your energy level always lends itself well to a pep talk.
I always put myself in the shoes of, I wish this was a show that I would listen to when I was an executive director, and I kind of went for that one. So
you don't even have to subscribe and review this podcast anymore. You need to subscribe and review to the new Do Good to the Max podcast. We're going to take a week off, maybe two.
Maybe two weeks.
How it goes. And then we'll be back with that one soon. So follow the Do Good social media pages for updates on that, of when the new podcast will arrive. Go into Apple or iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and find it there. And subscribe just like you did to this one. And I expect it's just going to be bigger and better in about a week or two.
Lee, you're the best. I appreciate you two-ferning me today. And appreciate all of your help and awesomeness in making this 326, 7-odd episodes, and away we go to just our next adventure.
Think how gray our hair is going to be after the next 326.
It's going to start falling out next. That's the key. You're the best, my friend.
You also.
Again, go click on the show notes. Go find Lee, and then go find out what he's doing. Maybe we'll put Lee in the show notes, too. We will also send you in the show notes a link to the – well, you're going to find us. We're going to – it'll be the Do Good to the Max link. So we'll put that in the show notes as well. You guys are awesome. Lee, thanks so much for joining us here on the official Do Good Better podcast. Fundraising is hard. And as a listener to this podcast, I hope you found some insights, tips, and tricks on how to make it a little less challenging. But if you're looking for a lot more content, done-for-you templates, weekly support, and a community of other do-gooders like yourself to commiserate, challenge, co-create, or celebrate with, I want to invite you to join Do Good University. It's our brand new membership site. We're going to have hours of on-demand trainings, exclusive guest expert webinars, and access to the Do Good Better crew to answer all of your pressing questions, all for an affordable monthly fee. So visit dogooduniversity.com or click the link in the show notes